This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. In the midst of an opioid crisis that claims more than 100 lives a month in Massachusetts, there's a fight over multiple so-called sober houses in one Dorchester neighborhood. Advocates say the need for the housing is greater than ever. Residents say, why so many here? WBUR's Simone Rios reports.
More than three dozen neighbors meet at an elementary school at the top of Meeting House Hill. One of them reads a petition they're about to deliver to the city.
These property owners have not engaged with residents who might be impacted by the increased number of individuals residing in their buildings prior to opening their doors.
The neighbors are gathered for a sit-down with Boston's chief building inspector. They want the city to put the brakes on sober houses opening in their neighborhood. The story begins with a longtime resident and former state representative, Charlotte Golar Ritchie. She ran for mayor in 2013. Last summer, Ritchie and her husband decided to sell the Big Victorian at 29 Percival Street, where they'd lived for more than three decades.
I mean, I love the neighborhood, love my neighbors, and so it was very sad to me to see the results of what I call a housing sale go awry.
Ritchie says they accepted one of the lower offers on the house. They turned down a developer in favor of a couple who said they wanted to live there.
And they had it for, I don't know, just a matter of weeks, and then they flipped it with no explanation to me or the community. I had a list of community people wanted to meet them to welcome them in the neighborhood. Before I could even get the list to them, it was back on the market.
A month and a half after the Ritchies moved out, the house sold for $86,000, more than what the Ritchies received. The new owner purchased through an LLC, tied to a family that now owns three properties in this part of Meeting House Hill. The same family runs seven sober homes, all in Dorchester and Roxbury, one of which is just two houses down from the Ritchies. Shortly after the sale, neighbors saw workers carrying mattresses into Ritchie's old house. They realized another sober home was about to come online.
I told my husband, I'm like, we need to do something because if we don't, we're moving.
Rochelle Wosu lives between the existing sober house and the one in the works.
That was like flat out my immediate response. Like the house is going on the market and we need to sell before they even take action because we're never going to be able to sell our property with two sober homes.
Looking at the houses on Meeting House Hill, Lisa Villarol seems to know everyone, past and present, in this diverse part of Dorchester.
This house used to belong to Leo, and he owned the liquor store on Bowdoin Street, and then he passed away.
Many of the homes on Villarol Street are owner-occupied and well-cared for, with the vast Ronan Park at the center of the community. To a passerby, the sober home looks like every other house on the street. But to neighbors like Villarol, it's a nuisance that could be about to multiply. The neighbors say they understand the need for sober houses, and Villarol has lived across the street from one for 6 years without any major problems. But she draws the line at more than one on her street.
Why is it only happening in the neighborhoods of Dorchester, Mattapan, and Roxbury? How come we don't see them happening in Milton? How come we don't see them happening in, you know, or we don't hear about them in Hyde Park? And why aren't they going down by the wharf? There's a lot of space down there. Why don't they bring them down there?
Advocates want to dispel the stigma that exists around sober houses. They say the homes offer support to people trying to improve their lives, and they meet a critical need during an opioid epidemic, coupled with a severe lack of affordable housing. Troy Clarkson is outgoing head of MASH, the Massachusetts Alliance for Sober Housing.
Properties that operate as sober houses can in some cases be better neighbors than if they were otherwise occupied, because the people in those houses are people that are trying to get well, and they're people that are living by a set of rules and standards in those sober houses.
Sober houses are not regulated by the state, but they can be certified by MASH. The group's database shows 22 of these sober homes in Boston. Most are located in Dorchester, with a few in Roxbury and East Boston. MASH says there's no accurate count of uncertified sober homes, but the group estimates there are hundreds across the state. Conflicts between sober houses and the neighborhoods where they're sited are nothing new, and some of the disputes are playing out in court. Andrew Tyne is an attorney who represents the operators of about 20 sober homes in Massachusetts.
Sober houses practice abstinence, and they usually require urine drug testing, and they have curfews and rules in place.
And Tyne says the homes are protected by law because the residents are considered disabled. Asked if the neighbors on Meeting House Hill have reason to be concerned about multiple sober houses, Tyne says no.
There's other protected classes, minorities, maybe people of color. So that would be like saying, yeah, I didn't mind one house in my neighborhood with minorities. I just don't want five.
Tyne says court cases are underway in multiple cities in Massachusetts, and the outcomes could determine how sober houses operate going forward. That could make a big difference to people like Joseph Pizzaferri, whose family LLC purchased the Ritchie's former property and owns the sober home already on the street. Pizzaferri declined to be interviewed, but he said by phone that he's trying to do the right thing for people struggling with addiction. The seven sober houses his family operates in Boston are all certified by the Alliance for Sober Housing, and according to a website for the houses, residents must pass regular drug screenings or leave. Back at the school on Meeting House Hill, Boston's chief building inspector, Buddy Christopher, stands before the crowd with a smile.
I come to you bearing really good news.
Christopher says he met with Pizzaferri about the sober house in the works.
And he has committed to us. He is not going ahead with this project. We explained to him that, you know, this is just not the way we do things.
The neighbors clap, but a few are unsatisfied. They want the city to take a more active stance on sober homes, and they want to know what will happen with the houses Pizzaferri owns in the neighborhood. Rules around how municipalities can regulate sober homes could change in the courts or in the legislature. City officials say until then, there's not much they can do to balance the legitimate need for sober housing with residents' concerns about their neighborhoods. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.